Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Another quick rant of truth with me, Tyson Harley, on the Scales of Truth. Today, going to talk about some topics I've covered before, but with an expert's point of view. So it's going to overlap. It's going to confirm and give more detail, and then further developments also then from this expert. The expert I'm talking about is a Dr. Peter McCullough, who's a highly published cardiologist, and he appeared on the Richard Syrett show off of Saga 960 up in Canada, and I listen via podcast. You can find the Richard Syrett show that way, S-Y-R-E-T-T. I'm going to have six topics for you today. One, the persistence of spike protein in the body, the culprit, the bad part of the virus, and also the part that the vaccine has your body create. So yes, we do. It is Wonderland. We are Alice, and our solutions create the bad part of the problem. So compare the persistence of the spike protein when the virus is a source and then when the vaccine is a source. Two, something about boosters that surprised even me, even as suspicious as I am of how are they trying to screw us today, is still surprised me. Three, another way in which the sales department ends up apparently being able to veto the science department, in that the vaccine was so narrow. Like, why would you make it that narrow? Because it's not enough information. And sure enough, we find out that the immunity wanes quickly. Well, Peter McCullough goes into that too and gives more specifics. And I was proud that he even used some of the same terminology that I did. And then number four, then, the recent developments of 5 to 12-year-old data that they did the emergency use over, and how they said we don't have enough data to even know if it's safe, but we should definitely have emergency use for it. And then specifically then McCullough has some opinions on this idea that existing data should take 50 years to 55 years to be released. Pfizer said that with a straight face. And the FDA didn't outright shut it down. I don't know if it's approved or not. Number five, myocarditis among young people from shot one, shot two. That's swelling of the heart. Number six, heart attack risk in adults. We'll cover that too. So first, the persistence of spike protein. And so Peter McCullough talks about recent studies that say spike protein from viruses can persist in the body for 15 months. And then another study came out about the vaccine spike proteins, because of course we have the solution create more of what was the biggest irritant of the problem, of course. So vaccine, we know it's not been 15 months yet, but the spike proteins that are created by the body via the mRNA instructions, that is the quote vaccine, those last for months after. Now, we don't know exactly how many, but definitely they last months after as well. Peter McCullough says there's little reason to think they don't also last at least 15 months. But more specifically, more are produced, more persist rather. So when the virus is the source, only an S1 segment persists. When the vaccine is the source, the S1 and S2 segments persist. I don't know what they are either, guys. Just use the basic terms, the segment. You've got one part of the protein that persists. When the vaccine is a source, two parts persist. This would make sense because the spike proteins were attached to something before. So maybe in the, in the difficulty of detaching to the rest of it, it wouldn't last as well. But now there's just the spike protein itself is created. It's probably more mobile and you don't have to worry about it detaching from anything. It's ready to persist and go to all parts of the body. Then Peter had been on Australian TV, and down there, it's going to be like a tank situation. There's that, I'm telling you, man, that leadership has bought 14 doses per person. So Peter McCullough said, that means 14 doses, two times a year, they're never going to have a chance to get rid of the spike proteins. It's going to persist. He said the biggest analogy as far as persistence in this type of disease is Lyme disease, which, oh, by the way, many a person with Lyme disease thinks might have been engineered too. So 14 doses per person. Australians are down there having their freedoms taken away, being told you will take a spike protein. What, you're not taking a vaccine. You understand that? Because even to the extent, in reality, it's a damaging product that happens to give slight immunity. That's all. Because if you continue to take the spike protein producer, every single time what you can rely on is that it will make your body produce more spike proteins. That's the given. The variability is that how effective it will be versus this other alleged problem. Answer, not as effective over time because it was too narrow. But let's talk about the boosters. Speaking of more, speaking of less protection over time, the boosters, even I was surprised by this, it's the same product and the same dose. I thought, well, I even argued at demonstrations when I'd use my voice, I would say, you know, that's why the president's asking for boosters, because why would you be taking this vaccine at this point, especially if you don't want to, because it's not effective anymore, because the thing is mutated. So when I said the given is that you will get more spike proteins produced, the variability is how effective that will be. And it's not even that it's not as effective, which they use. It's not even applicable. You should put an NA. The problem is, as time goes on, this isn't applicable to even work against. And that's why it's not effective. It's no mystery as to why it's not effective. It's not applicable if given later. Yet here we are, same product, same dose, 16 months after, and as though it's just as effective when we all know it's not. It's the same product. It's not been a reaction to the variants at all that I didn't know. The booster is the same product. Now, so some people have taken three instructions to create a bunch of spike proteins, and then if they start feeling sick, they go, and you can still get it anyway. Can you imagine a bigger scam to give the irritant as the solution, and then the irritant given as the solution, you can just bluff, because after all, you just bluff the idiots to let you give them the irritant as a solution and say, well, you can still get the disease. We didn't say you couldn't get the disease. All right, so number three, this is the sales market leading the science department. It goes to the narrowness of the vaccine too, but with specifics. Peter McCullough says that, it's only one protein out of 27, the spike protein. Why didn't they pick one of the other 26? Why did they pick the one that the study shows that I found, that I've talked about, that it is what they grafted onto? I think they said a mouse backbone, but I don't remember for sure. If they didn't say that, then that's what Luc Montagnier said, grafted onto a mouse backbone. They specifically use the most harmful part, which could be the most mutated. In fact, it's the least natural. It's the least natural because the study said we increased human transmissibility by adding a spike protein well before gain-of-function research was legal again. So can you imagine? Our solution is after we engineer a virus, whether it left or not, and the part that we grafted onto it is the spike protein, which is the irritability, which does cause all these problems, then our solution creates spike protein. But as to how narrow that immunity is, yes, it's only one protein out of 27. Why didn't they pick a more stable one? Why didn't they pick one of the natural proteins that they didn't graft onto it? Probably more stable. And for sure, less irritating. Nope, one. That one protein has 1,200 different amino acids. And Peter McCullough, like I said, when I talked about natural immunity being much broader, and I just reverse engineered it. It was a truism after from McCullough and others that natural immunity is broader. So why is that? I reverse engineered it. Well, it must be that they're seeing the whole virus and this little crap thing that the effectivity and the applicability of it wanes very quickly. Is not seeing the whole virus. It's only creating a small part of it. So he said the same thing. He's talking about natural immunity being much more effective. And natural immunity doesn't create spike proteins. But he used the term library. I had said you get a larger profile, because you see the whole thing. He says that, you know, now remember there are immune responses that are the same immune response from some attack cells. And then there are the other immune responses that kind of lock on, you know, they have to fit. It's the, you know, the key, the lock and chain, you know, the key and the padlock, if you will. So certain immune cells fit like that. And other immune cells just say, okay, there's a threat, let's attack. And so McCullough is saying that the reaction, and I think he means in just the general attack, but I believe that's what he means. He says T cell and maybe plasma cell. I think he said a third. The reaction from natural immunity, should you get this type of thing again, is 100 to 1,000 times the reaction from if you've just been vaccinated. Or rather, been vaccinated only. And he says, and I don't know the details on this, he says, CDC says, even now admits that this one and done, you don't get the same thing again. Which also goes to, yeah, because it mutates. That's what's left. But here's the next thing that's important. The vaccine is too narrow. It creates the irritable part, has your body create the very problem that was in the illness. But now as to how small these changes can be in order for, because they made such a small profile. So let's say you thought you could tell a Harley because it was an exact shade of blue eyes that we have. Because the specimen you took had an exact shade, but you didn't take into account body type, height, hair color, any number of things. You just looked at the eye color and you were too specific. And then I have a baby with a woman. I don't have a baby. We're not going there. And the eye color is blue-ish, and you still got a Harley. But guess what? Your identification didn't catch it because it's too specific. How specific can that be? McCullough says that in the variants, you know, like from like A to B to C to, you know, Delta and so on, many of those were a change in one amino acid. And though that was enough with some amino acids, maybe if other amino acids change, the body can still recognize it. And so it doesn't turn into a variant that survives. You know, body recognizes it. But as to the amino acids, as to the ones that changed enough so that the body did not recognize it anymore, the changes were as little as one amino acid. And there were bigger ones. And now we're all the way to, I'm not even going to say it because we've got to stop. You know, all these variants should be left to the realm of a trivial pursuit illness category. Everybody shouldn't know them. It's trivial. It's a flu variant. We've got to shut our fat mouths about it. So one amino acid can change it enough. All right, next topic is going to be that I mentioned this in another podcast. McCullough also mentioned it. I don't know if I have anything new that he really said about it. So maybe this part is just a repeat that the data for the emergency use for 5 to 12 year olds, it might be 5 to 11. I feel like McCullough said 11, but I thought I'd seen 12. So anyway, 5 to 11 or 5 to 12. You know, Pfizer with a straight face said, yeah, the thing is, we just don't have enough information to know whether it's safe. And so we should emergency authorize it. I'm going to go real quick, say, why didn't you design your study with enough so you'd have more confidence interval so that you did know? But, and I'll say B really quick. We do have enough. We know that the original problem, which you're supposedly still reacting to, was never a problem for anybody healthy and young. But we do know that every single time you're creating spike proteins because you're telling the body to. Can you imagine in kids when they're growing? It might be that they create a lot more. I basically guarantee you kids are going to die because they're in growth phase. So what's to say if you hijack a cell to say, make this a factory for spike proteins, that they won't produce 1,000 times as many spike proteins as a 72-year-old? For instance, it could easily be 10, but who knows? They don't know. They don't have the granularity on the data. So they're like, yeah, we don't have enough data. We didn't have enough participants. Well, that's your fault, isn't it? But also convenient. They're getting rewarded for doing bad studies. And they've done this for a long time, but this is just the worst case because they're mandating on top of it. Or at least, you know, giving the illusion of mandates, and then Australia actually mandates. But they say, we won't know for 5 years whether it's safe. We just don't have the data. Okay. And they said that with a straight face, and the FDA it's emergency authorized, people. They accepted it. Another part of that, 55 years to release the given data on the studies for the vaccine. 55 years, Pfizer said with a straight face. And as McCullough says, this is already data. It's there. Release it all. And he says, as to this, is yes, it's hundreds of thousands of pages. But, you know, when we're looking at safety data, and that's really what we're most want is the safety data. We frequently look at, you know, 14 to 20,000 pages. And he says he's been a part of that. You give it to a whole group. And a quick aside with this is this idea of proprietary is killing America and the world. It is one thing to say we've got proprietary data if what you're selling is an individual's choice. But as soon as you use public money, then all that goes out the window. It's not proprietary anymore. There was a development, and I forget when I mentioned it before, where it used to be that if you created a project on the government dime, you could sell it all you want, but it was not proprietary. It immediately went into the public sphere as far as knowledge because it was paid for by the people's money as a group, the research. And so by the same token, this should just be released. And if we don't get rid of this idea of proprietary, we're screwed. So he says, yeah, we look through 14 to 20,000 pages all the time, release the data. People have sued him. He's among a group of people who have sued them over the data. So topic number five is myocarditis among young people. And I'm sorry. Yeah, among young people. Hey, guess what? Since the side effects of spike proteins are myocarditis, guess what's increases the more shots you have? I just love this idea. We need studies sometimes. Well, we've already know that the spike proteins create any number of things. And McCullough says, listen, in autopsies, the spike proteins can be found in the brain, in the heart, in the bone marrow, in the blood vessels. Well, guess what then? Myocarditis, which is a heart swelling, increases from shot one to shot two. Guess what? It will increase again when they get their booster shot. Guess what? It will increase again when they get another booster shot and another booster shot. Because mRNA is nightmare, Salesforce driven, marketing department driven technology. It is not better. It is worse. It could be less harmful if they didn't give you the biggest irritant, but it's not better. And then the other thing, let's see if I wanted to mention this. And so the other part of that is that, or rather a separate topic, heart attacks rise in a heart attack risk. So a study has been done where they look at the usual heart attack triggers after the vax. So these are things that they look at to see that seem to correlate with heart attacks. And they go up after the vaccination. This is for adults that have atherosclerosis. I say that wrong, atherosclerosis, you know, buildup of material in the arteries. So they're already susceptible, but these heart attack triggers increase after vaccination, therefore implying that heart attacks also would rise after vaccination. Guess what? It's spike protein. The whole idea is it's creating clots, and traveling throughout the body. So anything that contributes towards is going to increase based on you getting more and more of instructions for your body to create a bunch of protein. I'm going to say just as one last quick thing. I think maybe IT types are like, yeah, you can build a real clean instructions. Yeah, I code all the time. Well, this code doesn't say stop at 1500, idiots. It says create spike proteins. Create spike proteins. And then they said, erase the glass. We got the immune response. Of course you'd get an immune response. It's called the human body, you jackasses. Of course you got a human response. You got to take other things into account. Like in the giant bell curve, how wide is that bell curve? Does the average person create 1,000, but 5% of people create 100,000? Do 1% of people create 1,000,000? You didn't do that data. You know, you don't know. And so that's the problem. Okay, guys, that's it for me. Thanks for listening to The Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley. Catch me over on Chemology 411 as well.